As I prepared my remarks this past week, I reflected on my own graduation from St. Michael's 40 years ago, and I know that probably sounds like ancient history to class of 2017, but I actually remember quite a bit of detail from my graduation. That morning, prior to commencement, I was one of two students that was commissioned in the Marine Corps, and I can still remember taking the oath of office in Elliott Hall, being surrounded by friends and family, and just the sense of promise that was there that morning. I remember walking across the graduation ceremony surrounded by my classmates, and just like it was as I watched you parade in here this morning, it was just a tremendous amount of excitement in the air. And I also remember our commencement speaker. It was Senator Margaret Chase Smith from the state of Maine, and by the time I graduated, she was an iconic figure. The speech she gave in 1950 had been recognized as one of the most significant speeches in U.S. Senate history. Unfortunately, I'm not sure I heard a word that Senator Smith said to my class that morning in 1977. And I made that comment about a year ago, and the Margaret Chase Smith Library over the past year sent me a copy of her remarks from the speech. And I read the remarks, and I actually missed a very powerful message on value and ethics. But by the time she spoke on my graduation day, my mind was miles away from Winooski Park. And I had enjoyed my 4 years at St. Michael's, like you, developed many important relationships in my life, but I was ready to move on. Mentally, I'd already made the break from my college phase of life, and I suspect there's more than one or two of you out there that probably share that sentiment. So with that in mind, I challenge myself to say something this morning that's actually relevant to those of you graduating, something that you may actually remember at least until tomorrow morning. And I'm going to accomplish my mission by sharing just a few thoughts about leadership and ask you, the class of 2017, to accomplish yours by staying with me for just a few minutes, and I promise it will be, and maybe just be a bit more attentive than I was at my commencement speech. I chose to talk about leadership this morning because I believe we should expect leadership from graduates of an institution founded by the Society of St. Edmund, a group committed to serving others. We should expect leadership from men and women who graduate from a college that emphasizes social justice. And we should expect leadership from graduates of a school that consistently ranks as one of the best liberal arts colleges in the nation. In fact, I remember the words of President Henry and Father Gokey who were here back in 1977. When they were asked why St. Michael's, part of their answer was, and I quote, "Because we don't train students for followership, for jobs that may become technically obsolete. St. Michael's aims to give you sound thinking, creativity, resourcefulness, self-assurance, universal skills in any profession, in any age." And I think their words are as true in 2017 as they were in 1977. One of the qualities that all great leaders share is moral courage. It's been alluded to early this morning. The ability to think for yourself and the willingness to do the right thing, regardless of the consequences. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but that characteristic defined my commencement speaker, Margaret Chase Smith. And in part, to pay her back for my inattentiveness in 1977, I'd like to share a little bit about her story. She was born in 1897. She was the first woman to serve in both houses of Congress, and only a handful of women served in the House when she joined in 1940. And for over a decade, she was the only woman to serve in the Senate as the result of winning a general election. She was a trailblazer with many admirable qualities, but it was the moral courage that she demonstrated in 1950 that established her as a truly extraordinary leader. In the 1950, the nation's confidence was shaken by financial trouble, the loss of China to communism, and Russia's success at developing an atomic weapon. In that context, the political opportunist Senator Joseph McCarthy took advantage of what Senator Smith called the four horsemen of fear, ignorance, bigotry, and smear. McCarthy had embarked on a wide-sweeping anti-communist crusade that unfairly called into question the patriotism and the integrity of many good Americans. He literally destroyed lives and careers with rumor and innuendo. And while many disagreed with McCarthy's unfair character assassinations and broad-sweeping accusations, very few in the nation had the courage to take on Senator McCarthy. It was actually a pretty dark time in our nation's history. And then on the 1st of June, 1950, Senator Margaret Chase Smith took to the Senate floor and delivered a speech that she declared as a declaration of conscience. And for many reasons, it was a bold step for her to take. She was a very junior senator from the same party as McCarthy, and at the time, McCarthy was very popular here in New England. As the only woman in the Senate, she was under extreme scrutiny in a period when many believed that women had no place in politics. And when she delivered that speech, Senator Smith was well aware that she was risking her reputation in her political career. But she looked at the evidence behind McCarthy's accusations and concluded that what he was doing was wrong and harmful to our nation. And to give you some sense of what she was experiencing at the time, there's a train that runs underneath the Capitol building. And that morning, before she took to the Senate floor, she actually found herself on the small little train that moves from one building to another with Senator McCarthy. McCarthy had some hint of what was going to happen on the Senate floor that morning, and he got right up in her face and said, "Senator, I understand you're going to give a speech on the Senate floor this morning. Is there anything that I should know?" So Senator Smith moved to the Senate floor alone, and she took on Joseph McCarthy. And after her speech, through her example, others began to speak out, and the dark chapter of McCarthyism was eventually closed. Senator Smith knew what it meant to be a leader. She knew that being a leader meant doing the right thing, even when it was hard. And in her own words, the right thing is not always the popular or the easy thing. Standing for right when it's unpopular is the true test of moral courage. Graduates of St. Michael's, class of 2017, future leaders, you won't all have a moment in your lives as consequential as Senator Smith, but you'll all have moments when standing for right is hard. And when that moment comes, I just ask you to remember the example of Senator Margaret Chase Smith, who stood right here 40 years ago speaking to the class of 1977. Another quality that I've found in great leaders is a commitment to serve something greater than yourself, a passion and a willingness to serve others. Hear the words of Christ offer inspiration. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Few represent that ethos better than Father Maurice Ouellette, an Edmonite priest who played a critical role in the civil rights struggles in the 1960s. As a 13-year-old growing up here in Vermont, he watched the home movie of Edmonite priests serving African Americans in Alabama, and he felt the calling. After finishing seminary, he was posted to Selma, Alabama, and he spent his days doing what any priest would do, visiting people in their homes, caring for the sick, and offering mass. He and his fellow Edmonites opened up the Good Samaritan Hospital and educated African-American children in the parish school. By the early 1960s, Father Ouellette had earned the trust of African-Americans in Selma, and when civil rights leaders came calling, he linked arms with them, viewing their struggle as a natural extension of his service to the community. He offered his parish as a gathering place and a training ground for volunteers. He spoke out against injustice, and he called on Christians from across the country to join a fight for civil rights. And in doing so, Father Ouellette became a target for those resistant to change. He was hauled before a grand jury and accused of being a communist. He received menacing phone calls in the middle of the night, and he endured repeated threats against his life. None of that could keep him from answering his call to serve. He continued to care for the sick in their homes and in the hospital. He worked as a handyman, offering free repairs to those ignored by local businesses, and he used his position to call for equality. In 1965, when civil rights leaders rallied in Selma to plan a march to Montgomery, Father Ouellette welcomed them with open arms. When peaceful marchers were beaten on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, dozens of wounded found sanctuary and care at the Good Samaritan Hospital, and Father Ouellette himself, recovering from kidney surgery, got up out of his hospital bed to help those who had been injured that day. As protesters reorganized, Father Ouellette worked behind the scenes and coordinated a nationwide response that brought literally hundreds of priests, sisters, ministers, rabbis, and laymen from 26 states to Selma, Alabama. In the end, the bravery and conviction of African Americans and those who marched with them turned the tide on March 25, 1965. In a triumphal procession of 25,000 Americans, shortly afterwards arrived on the steps of the Capitol in Alabama. 5 months later, as we all know, the Voting Rights Act was passed, providing protection sought by those who marched on Montgomery. But as the nation celebrated the victory, Father Ouellette felt the sting of loss. His archbishop was angered by Father Ouellette's vocal and visible role in the civil rights movement, and he removed him from his parish. Demonstrating what it means to be a truly great leader, Father Ouellette maintained his commitment to serve others, even through his final sermon at Selma. Rather than give in to bitterness and disappointment, he concluded with these words: "All we do, we must do with love. As a person and an individual, I matter very little. However, the church matters, and matters a great deal." That's what it means to have a passion for serving others and remembering that as a leader of consequence, it's never, never about you. Graduates of St. Michael's, class of 2017, future leaders, few of you are going to be called upon to serve in a time such as Father Maurice Ouellette or to make such a great personal sacrifice. But most of you will lead in industry, education, or in public service. And I hope when you lead, you remember the story of Father Ouellette, if only to remember that when you are a leader, the greatest call is to serve those you lead. Now, those of you who may be still with me are probably having a hard time identifying with these examples. You may have actually taken a deep gulp and wondered if being a leader requires the courage of Margaret Chase Smith or the selflessness of Father Maurice Ouellette. But in all sincerity, if you sit here this morning with those concerns, I don't share them. I say that because what I've learned in my 40 years of service in uniform is that extraordinary leaders are actually ordinary men and women who make a commitment to excellence. Leaders are men and women who dig down deep and do what's right, even when there's a voice inside of them to say, take the easy way. I don't share your concerns because I look at the generation of St. Michael's graduates who sat right where you sit this morning and have gone on to be leaders of consequence in a wide range of endeavors. Several examples I'm honored to be up here on the stage with this morning: Luong Ong as a human rights activist, Brian Lacey in the creative arts, and Senator Patrick Leahy, the United States Senate, and Tracy Romano, a leading marine biologist. Now, in the interest of time, I didn't describe this morning the challenges that currently face our nation. But from a security perspective alone, I think it's fair to say the challenges we face today are as complex and difficult as any we've faced since World War II. And the pace of change is unprecedented. And navigating in the days ahead is going to require leadership. And your generation of leadership is going to play an increasingly important role. Our education system, our military, the public and the private sector all need strong, value-based leadership. And as graduates of St. Michael's, I really believe you are uniquely capable of providing that leadership. So I'll close by just making a simple request. Regardless of where life takes you, have the moral courage to do what's right, even when it's tough. And commit to being something bigger than yourself, whether it's in your professional life or your personal life. Remember the ethic that was instilled here at St. Michael's and bring that forth with you as you go on with your life. And in the end, perhaps inspired by the story of Margaret Chase Smith or Father Maurice Ouellette, be a leader of consequence. To the St. Michael's community, to the class of 2017, to the families that are here today, particularly to the faculty and the staff at St. Michael's College, it's been an extraordinary day for me to be literally back home here at St. Michael's and to have a chance to look at your faces, to look at the proud faces of the parents that are here, and to be part of such a big day in your lives. I wish you all the best as you go forward to be leaders of consequence. God bless you all, and as Father Ray said, Semper Fidelis, remain always faithful. Thank you very much.